Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Surviving the Shift, a show where spirituality meets practicality, with your host, Michelle Arbeau.
Welcome, everyone, to another great episode of Surviving the Shift. I'm your host, Michelle Arbeau. Tonight, we have Sharon Joseph. Sharon is an intuitive life counselor, channel, author, and professional speaker who combines her love of people with her love of words. And she has a great new workshop. It's called Write Your Way to Wellness. So Sharon's coming on tonight to talk about this really great program. And I've heard a little bit about it, so I think you're really going to enjoy what she has to say. I'll bring Sharon on. Hold on, I think we're having a bit of technical difficulty. Blog Talk Radio has been having a little bit of trouble lately, and I'm not sure if it's their system being upgraded. Hold on. Okay. Hi, Sharon, is this you?
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Hi, I am so sorry about the delay.
Oh, that's okay, that's all right. Just as long as you're here, that's the best thing.
Thank you. I couldn't dial in on the 877 number.
Really? You know what? There's a couple of people who said that recently, and that's why I sent you the other number, because, I think Blog Talk's been doing a little bit of upgrading, and I've had, for a couple of shows in a row now, I've had a couple of technical glitches. I've lost a couple of people I had to call back in as a guest.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was crazy. So you're here now, so we can begin. Yes. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Sharon, about your background and what you do exactly?
Well, thank you for, first of all, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it, and I've been listening to your show, and I think what you're doing is fantastic, so thank you so much for that. What I do is I'm an intuitive life counselor and channel. I'm also an author, publisher, and mother to an 18-year-old autistic child, and Awe is spelled A-W-E, because he impresses me every day and teaches me every day with just his connection to the divine and also to the truth that he has inside of him and the fact that he does live his authentic self.
Yes, yes. I didn't know that your son was autistic. I had no idea. Wow. Yeah, that's definitely a challenge in itself. And then you're also a full-time intuitive and author and all of those wonderful things, as well as being a mother to your gifted child. So, yeah, fantastic. Okay. So how did you get into the channeling work and all of that? What led you into that?
When I was a child, I used to walk around and see black clouds hanging over some people, and it really scared me. I was raised Catholic. And how do you tell your Catholic parents that you can see black clouds over people, or how do you tell them that you can see dead people? Probably wouldn't have gone over very well. So I suppressed my abilities for a long, long time. And unfortunately, my body actually took the hit on that because I stress ate my way through the fact that I couldn't share with anyone. I didn't understand what was going on. It was really a murky environment that I was living in, and I didn't even feel like I was part of my own family. There's no doubt I was my mother's daughter because we look exactly the same. So there's no doubt that the parentage was there, but I just didn't feel like I belonged in the family. About 5 years ago, I had a reading from a cousin of mine who's also an intuitive, and she's the one who opened the door and said to me, you know, you are gifted, and you do have these abilities should you decide that you want to delve into that. And then I had a very interesting meeting with a lovely woman out of Hamilton, Maria Eccles is her name, and she handed me a Doreen Virtue book. The first one was Angels 101. So I ended up reading through the book, and it explained exactly who I was. All of a sudden, I found a home that I could belong to. I found an environment that I understood and that understood me and answered so many questions about why I did what I did, why I thought the way I thought, why I felt the way I felt. And it was just a real relief to feel like I was finally coming home and finally coming into who I who I really am. So that started me on the spiritual path, on the journey to become my true authentic self.
Yes. Well, you know, that sounds, I can definitely resonate with what you're saying, because a lot of the points you're making, I've been through the same. So, yeah, I can definitely resonate with that. So you call yourself an intuitive life counselor. What does that mean exactly?
When I first started out, that's a great question, and thank you for asking that. When I first started out, I would call them readings. And I found that it was more, they ended up being more, because I was listening to their guides and angels, and I now work with energies. So as I'm receiving messages for people from guides and angels and their higher selves that people, that they want these people to hear, I found I was also getting the messages on how they could fix what they believed was going wrong in their life. So, for example, someone, as a matter of fact, I did a counseling session last night. This person was busy, busy, busy all the time with busyness. It was more killing time than it was being productive. And when I was talking with this person, they told me they wanted to change. They absolutely wanted to change. And when they said that, they went on a 10-minute tirade about why they should change, why they could change, what they should be doing, what they could be doing. And it really brought it home to me that people are out there, they're wanting to change, and they don't know how. They really don't know how. And obviously they themselves and their higher selves are the best medicine, or the best people or energy or spirit or whatever you want to call it. The higher self is really the best guide to help them heal themselves. So I have been very blessed to be able to not only hear messages to give to people, but also to be able to hear how they need to change in order to move forward with their lives. So it became more than as a good friend of mine calls it, more than a Sally the psychic, it became more of a counseling session.
Yes, yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, you do so much more than just giving them a reading. It's mm-hmm. more like, well, I don't want to say life coaching, but it's definitely the full meal deal, I guess you could say.
And I would say life coaching is probably a good analogy for it, a good term for it. I know you yourself, when you do your numerology, it's not just delivering a message. You're also explaining to people and hoping that they understand that they can have a better life if they choose to. And you're going to give them all of the tools they need to get started on that path. And that's one thing that I certainly believe, is I'm not the be-all and end-all for everyone, because I believe a network of healers is critical to everybody, and that as soon as we are done, as soon as we do what we can for a person, it's time to move them on to the next person who can help them.
Yes, I agree. And, you know, it's not every you know, life counselor or psychic or what have you, healer is for everyone. So I guess we kind of have to find that person that is going to deliver us the messages that we need at the time. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I agree. Okay, so you're an intuitive life counselor and a channel, and also an author and a speaker. So let's move on to the next part of your title, which is, I guess channel kind of includes with the intuitive life counselor. But what about the author? Do you have a book now, or is this?
I'm in the middle of three books. I am published. I've been in the computer industry for a long time, so I do have over 70 technical publications done, and I am in the middle of writing three different books. One is the journey with my son as a special child. He really has taught me quite a bit, and I'm so very grateful that he chose me as his mother. So I'm working on that. My other book that I'm working on is actually a romance novel. I just love the romance genre, and it's a great way for me to slip into a nice fantasy world and have my own hunky guy in
yeah.
my life. I love my husband dearly. I do, and a romance novel is always something that I've wanted to write. It's been a dream of mine for a long time.
Wow, you're very multi-talented.
Everything, Yeah, thank you for that. I really appreciate that. Everything I do is actually related to the word, the written word or the spoken word. Mm-hmm. And I base everything in my life around the power of the word and how we can use that power to better ourselves and to better the world around us.
Yes, I agree. You know, I just, a friend of mine before I left on my trip last week, she sent me a piece from Doreen Virtue, who had a session, I think it was a podcast or something like that, and I think it was her son, I don't know if it was her son or her daughter, I didn't really pay attention to that part, but they had done a podcast, and the digital display of their voices on this podcast, it must have been on the equipment, they were showing, as they spoke certain words, it was showing different, almost like the frequency or the waves of the word or what have you. Mm-hmm. And each time they would say a word that was spiritually based, whether it be angel or spirit or something along those lines, the graph would be bigger or the voice, the digital voice code would be bigger. And then when she said something about a negative word or something, mm-hmm. you know, hate or something like that, it would be very small and very compact. So it was very interesting. And they also said that when she said the word angel, it was almost like it was in the shape of angel wings, which is really neat, I thought. So really, I guess, energetically speaking, words are very powerful. It's not just the definition of the word, but definitely the energetic impact that it has on us. So I agree with you about the word, the spoken word and both the written word.
And also, you would certainly know, given your new book, Soul Code, congratulations on your new book. That's very, very exciting.
Oh, thank you. It's not finished yet, but definitely coming on the home stretch with it. So,
well,
yeah,
good for you.
It's been a labor of love, that's for sure.
They are. And it's very, people who write books, people who write in general, even if they don't get published, it really is an exposure of who you are. You're really putting yourself on the line. So bravo and congratulations. It takes a lot of courage to actually write a book. And in your book, Soul Code, you talk about numbers and how they are the language of the universe. And I do believe you mention, I think I read a little excerpt, where you mentioned different words actually with numerology add up to divine numbers.
Yes, yeah. There are a lot of words, actually. Each word that you could possibly think of has the same meaning as it does in the dictionary, but it's much more powerful because we can break it down. For example, the word God, which means so many things to so many people,
mm-hmm.
It does add to 17, which reduces to 8, and 8 is the number of wisdom. So, but if you break it down further with the 17 first, 1 is the pioneering number or the number of new beginnings, and 7 is the truth seeker energy. So it's always looking for the deeper meaning in all things, which is kind of the essence of the 7. And then those two numbers add together to give you the 8, which is the number of wisdom. So that's just one example, but definitely, you know, doing the numbers with the words, I've come across such powerful messages behind words. So, yeah, I absolutely agree with you that words are so transformational. They really are.
And as you say that, I get shivers all over. Because they, the words, again, they're one of the tools that we are blessed with, and we can use them for good or we can use them to do harm. And even self-talk, again, I'm a real proponent that changing your thoughts can change your life. My concern with that is that we have about 70,000 thoughts a day. So it takes a lot of energy to really watch your thoughts. My goal is to bring it a bit deeper. My goal is to actually look at the stories that are generating those thoughts. Because imagine a group of words coming together to produce a story that is sitting in your subconscious mind that affects decisions that you make on a daily basis. In my bio, I wrote about Cinderella and how that book affected me. When you're a little girl and you're reading a book like Cinderella and there's a handsome, rich prince who's going to take you off and you're going to live in a castle, I believed that. I believed that that was going to happen. And somewhere in my life, I took a little bit of a left turn at Albuquerque, and I ended up with my hands in the dishwater and an apron on, and I'm scrubbing floors. So I don't know where that went wrong, and yet the belief that I should be living in a castle and have oodles of money and servants and everybody else. It didn't match. So of course, my first marriage failed, and for a great many reasons. But I was also one of the two who tangoed in that little dance. So I now take my fair share of the lessons to be learned there, and moving on to bigger and better and greater things. So those stories that we're told as youngsters, the stories we learn from experience, and even past life. I have found in my counseling sessions and through my Write Your Way to Wellness workshops, I have found that a lot of people are carrying fears forward that are actually past life related. And as we help people understand that it's a past life issue and how to clear it, how to forgive them, forgive self, and understand the roles that we all play in each other's lives so that we can learn lessons, as we start releasing that, the thoughts that go along with those stories actually start to change automatically. They start to resolve themselves. They start to transmute. They start to say, instead of, you really can't do that, it really becomes, you're great, you can do that, you're a perfect and infinite child of God. So that's where the power of words is really, really important. And people really need to start understanding that what they speak and what they think does affect around them.
Yes, and I love your program. I've read a little bit about the Write Your Way to Wellness, and I think it's a really great idea because, you know, there are tons of books on, you know, positive affirmations and things mm-hmm. about rewriting our patterns or rewriting our stories. But what I don't like about those books is that they're so impersonal, because we all have our own little quirks and our own little patterns going on. And for me, when I read those books, it just doesn't do anything for me, because I need to look at my own patterns, and I found this so helpful to just look at what's going on within me and rewrite it myself in my own words. I need that, and those books aren't really that helpful. And I do find that, you know, a lot of people say that the positive affirmations just don't seem to do the trick.
I find, and thank you for that, and I agree entirely. When you are in your ego mind, and I remember Sharon Court talking about the ego, and I love the ego. I absolutely love the ego, because it is a part of who we are. And what I teach people is your spirit has been through so many different experiences over so many lifetimes. And when you incarnate as a human in this lifetime, every experience, every emotion, every incident you've ever had in this lifetime and past lifetimes are embedded in your cells. It's embedded in your DNA. And your ego remembers all of that. So your ego becomes a protector for you. I love the ego because it's there to protect you. If you walk into a room and it remembers something very similar, whether in this lifetime or past lifetime, you're going to get some anxiety, you're going to get some fear. And when you embrace that as being a positive thing, that your ego is sending you a message, that's where you can stand back out of your ego mind, say, thank you, ego, for showing me that there is something here I need to address. Thank you, body, for holding the emotions that now need to come up for release. So when we look at it that way, instead of ego being an enemy, and as you say, you've read books, and so have I, that says you must get rid of the ego is who you are. It's your personality. It makes you really who you are. So you want to embrace the ego. You want to build a partnership with the ego. Thank the ego. Thank the body for holding what it's holding. And then you can actually work with what has come forward. Okay, I have a fear here. Thank you for holding that. I'm going to do this anyway. And we are safe in this lifetime. So as you say, affirmations, I have found that they have not been effective for me. What I have found is when my ego starts playing in the story, it takes the story in different directions. When I actually write it down, when I start journaling the story, the ego can't transmute it. It can't change it. It can't alter it to fit the circumstance of the time. So when I teach the workshop, what I ask people to do is build images, write down the story that is floating around in their brains. Then what we do is we move away from the story for about 10 minutes. We talk about other things. We talk about roles that we play in each other's lives. We talk about past lives and how they affect. And then when you come back, when you come back to the story that you've written, you can look at it from an objective point of view. And what the response that most people have when they read their story again is, wow, I can't believe I'm actually thinking this way. And they can see the story for what it is. They can find the underlying truth that they are perfect, that they do not need to carry this story around. They do not need to carry this fear around. They are perfectly safe in this lifetime. And that should they choose to, and this is a big part of it, Michelle, and you know the same thing with numerology, people have to choose to change.
Yes.
And all, at all times in my workshop, you are at choice. You can choose not to write. You can choose not to change. You can choose to hold the emotion that you're holding. You can choose to hold the story that you're holding. And we don't force that to move on. So you are always at choice to decide. If you do want to change, then I sit down with you. We look at the story. We transmute it. And then we move it on and really do a lot of forgiveness work after that. So I'm very blessed to be able to bring this workshop, and I've worked very hard to put this workshop together in such a way that it actually will give you tools that you can walk away with. You are going to use the tools in the workshop over and over again. Everything is written down. You then get to take the tools and go away with them. So you get practical skills on how to journal, how to look at the journal, how to transmute the thought, how to do the forgiveness work, how to do the clearing, and then move it on from there.
Right. So this definitely takes it well beyond just basic journaling, which is fine. I mean, journaling is great for releasing things and really, you know, getting it off your chest, so to speak. But this, you know, definitely helps you to rewrite your patterns, you know, get, you know, recognize what's going on and fix it.
It's a relief when you have a fear, you don't know where it's coming from, you have no basis for the fear in this lifetime, to be able to go back to a past lifetime. And I'm very blessed to be able to do that and help people that way, to identify the lifetime and the incident that happened to cause that fear to come forward.
Right. So you focus a lot on past life, or is it a combination of what's going on currently and also past life?
It's what's going on currently and past life. It's very interesting to sit with people and really listen to the stories that they come up with and their perspective on the story. And, of course, as like you, I am a messenger. So in the workshops, I am continuously listening for messages for these people and listening to what their higher self wants to give them, listen to the steps that they need to take to heal. And I have found that in a lot of cases, it is actually past life. So we will work with current life and past life. And one thing I tell people is you can't live X number of years as a spirit and not have stuff come forward. It's just not possible. Unless, of course, you're a blessed rainbow child or a crystal child. Rainbow or crystal children come with no karmic debt, and so they won't have the angst, and they won't have the upset, and they won't have the baggage coming forward with them as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do believe that as well, that, you know, just based on the numerology work that I do as well and the intuitive work, that, you know, it really is a fact of life that we do bring things forward. I mean, we come here with a certain set of, I guess, a lesson plan or things we'd like to accomplish, and, you know, time is linear here, and it's not like that on the other side. So we may not get things done, and that's okay. You know, it's not the end of the world. We just continue on, and things get done when they get done. So, yeah, I do believe that we do have past life issues, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so with your program, is it a series of different classes, or is this a one-day workshop, or are you going forward past the one day? Because definitely, I mean, I think that you could take this further than just doing a one-day class. This would be something, based on what I've read about it, that you could continue on daily in your life, or, mm-hmm. you know, keep it as a regular part of maintenance on yourself and on your path.
Absolutely. Again, and that's a great question. I've been asked to expand the workshop. Right now it's a one-day workshop, and at the end of the workshop you do get all of the tools necessary to continue moving forward should you choose to continue using writing as a method for healing. I've been asked to actually make this a retreat as well. So in the new year, We're going to make it a weekend retreat, and I've also been asked to make it a weekly evening workshop as well, because right now we run it on a Saturday. And so I'm sitting, communing with the divine and asking for guidance as to how we're going to roll that out on a weekly basis. And again, in a retreat type format, it's for the most part, the journey through the wellness, through the Write Your Way to Wellness workshop is actually giving yourself permission. Giving yourself permission to write, giving yourself permission to uncover the stories, giving yourself permission to feel, because we are allowed to feel what we feel. Too often we are told by people, oh, you shouldn't feel that way, you shouldn't stay angry, you shouldn't. The word should really needs to get thrown out of the dictionary, because there's so much guilt attached with the word should. I suggest people change that to could. You could change how you feel if you choose to. You could change what you are doing and how you are thinking if you choose to. We're always at choice. And I believe that that is something that is really, really important for people to understand, that they can choose to hold the emotions that they're holding. They are allowed to feel anger. They are allowed to feel sadness. They are allowed to feel rejected. They are allowed to feel joy, love, any emotion that they're choosing to feel. What they are not allowed to do, in my humble opinion, is they are not allowed to violate another person's rights by sharing how they feel. Let me give you an example. I held 40 years of anger that I realized was not mine, and it's just a recent discovery, because I've just recently discovered I'm an empath as well. So as an empath, I was holding 40 years of anger for somebody else, and I've just released that. Now, do I have the right to go to that person and say, you know what, you are really angry and you need to fix yourself? I don't have the right to do that. What I have the right to do is choose to let the anger go, bless and forgive myself, forgive them, and move on from there. So we're allowed to choose to feel how we feel. We are not allowed to violate another person's rights.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting, Sharon, that you mentioned you just recently found out that you were an empath, because I had mentioned, I think it was on Facebook a while back, that you have no soul plane numbers, and I thought, wow, this lady is very intuitive, very sensitive on the emotional plane. But because you were just saying you were holding all of that anger and all of that stuff from that other relationship that you had with this other person, you know, it definitely was blocking a lot of this empathic ability, probably, because you had somebody else's emotions mixing with yours and you didn't know what was what. So it was definitely kind of blocking the channels, so to speak, mm-hmm. for sure. And, you know, I wanted to mention as well that people who have that extreme sensitivity, like yourself, you know, very intuitive on the emotional level, they have a much, much easier time writing about things and getting it off their chest that way. They could sit and talk with someone for hours and it wouldn't be nearly as healing as it would be for you to sit down and write about it. So
absolutely.
I'm not surprised that you're doing this Write to Wellness program, because it's definitely a fit for you and people like you as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I have to tell you, not only was I carrying people's anger, it answered a lot of questions for me, because all of a sudden I would fly off the handle. And I could never understand why. Walking through a shopping mall, I felt like I was getting beat up on the other end. I felt like I was a punching bag. I was exhausted. I was tired. I was cranky. I was just not fun to be around. And, of
yeah.
course, knowing what I know now, it's just a matter of staying centered, staying grounded, and letting go of what really was not mine.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there are so many people walking around that way, and they really don't recognize, you know, that they're all over the board with their emotions, and it's because they're carrying other people's garbage, you know, energetic garbage, really.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's absolutely right. And in my house, my husband is an empath and my son's an empath. So the three of us are really, we're like lightning rods in this house. If one person comes home and they're a little off kilter, the other two are immediately vibrating. in the same frequency. So there's either calm or there's some waves happening, there's some ripples happening. So it really forces you to be honest and be your true authentic self, and it really forces you to take a look at how you are feeling and how you are projecting that.
Yes. I also wanted to mention, too, about the fact that, thoughts are really words. So people who use, for example, the law of attraction, I was talking earlier about the affirmations not working for a lot of people, but also the law of attraction, you know, we think about what we want, but really the words, thoughts are words. So it's about, like you said, you know, the word shouldn't be used, you know, things like that, because really it's all in the wording. So, yeah, do you teach this during your class as well, about the wording of your thoughts for things like law of attraction?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm always preaching how people think and how they speak. And here's one example. When I speak to people, their body language and their words tell me exactly where they are in their lives and where they're headed. What I have found a lot of people do today is they'll say a really great thing about themselves or a positive affirmation or some great journey that they've been on, some epiphanies that they've had, and they're shaking their heads no. So
yeah.
I call them on it. Are you sure you really mean that you had a great day today? Are you sure? Well, yeah, and they're still nodding no. The body doesn't lie.
No.
So if the body is saying no, but your words are saying yes, there's a confusion going on, not only for me because I'm watching you and listening, but for yourself as well. You're really giving yourself mixed messages. So really be careful and watch your body language. So if you did have a great day, make sure your head is nodding up and down. And I will call people on what they say and the actions that they do.
Yes, you know, I agree. I've seen that. And it's, yeah, you know, it's actions and things, you know, nonverbal things speak louder than the words itself for sure, yeah.
Absolutely.
Sharon, I have a few callers in the queue. I'm not sure if you're up for taking callers. I had actually had someone in the chat room ask if you were taking callers for readings, and I didn't know. I hadn't spoken with you about that, so I wasn't certain whether you were up for anything. Okay.
Yeah, that's lovely. Thank you.
Okay, great. I'll bring the first caller on and see if they have either a question, comment, or they'd like to hear what you have to say about them. Let's see. Hi, who do I have on the line?
Hello, this is Lena from Florida.
Hello, welcome to the show. Did you have a question or comment for Sharon?
Yes, hi, Sherry. I just wanted to see if you can tell by my numbers, because I am in personal year 4, and it's been a very challenging year, and I know I'm going into a 5, so I'm... I heard different things about the year 5, if it's a good year to get in a relationship or not a good year to get in a relationship, or what are your...
I'm the numbers lady, actually. Sharon is an intuitive life counselor, so if you're looking for a numbers question, that would be myself. But did you have any questions for Sharon, intuitively speaking? She may be able to help you with that.
Okay, well, whatever. I mean, what does she... Did she think that this year is coming up, anything that I can look forward to?
First of all, Lena, happy Thanksgiving to you and all of your American friends.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're very, very welcome. Lena, what I'm sensing for you is you've had a really, really tough year this year.
Yes.
And you're very, very hard on yourself. I find that you're... your angels have been really trying to get a hold of you, of which I see 3 angels with you, and they've been trying to get a hold of you. They've been trying to get your attention, and you have been starting to do the meditation. You've been starting to really believe that you can get a hold of your life, because at times you feel like it's running away from you. Next year is going to be a continued growth year for you. There are going to be some peaks and there are going to be some valleys, but just remember that this too shall pass and that you are headed on the right path, and you should continue could, pardon me, continue doing what you're doing should you choose to?
Because I've been in school at night, and I'm just, I mean, I had 2 years of prep classes, and I'm just emotionally drained.
Right.
I never went to school before, so now I have to start working, so I don't know how I'm going to be able to handle school with work, because I never did that before. So I'm a little concerned about that aspect of my life.
What I'm sensing, for schooling, let me ask you this question, Lena. Did you want to go back to school, or is it somebody who told you you probably should?
Well, I started volunteering at hospice 3 years ago, and I really enjoyed it. So then I thought, well, maybe I'll go take some classes. And then I thought maybe I wanted to go for nursing. But then when I found out how many classes were involved and how long it would take, I'm going to be 49 years old. And
right.
I don't want to be in school for five years, you know, going part-time. I want to get out working. So then I was thinking maybe I'll switch to medical assistant, but then that's a full-time program, and
mm-hmm.
I can't go to school full-time at this point.
Yes.
And go to work.
Absolutely. Your joy was in the volunteering. Your joy was in the giving and not making it a career. So, again, you're completely at choice. What I would suggest that you do is really go with your heart. And this is what I counsel people. Make decisions with your heart, because your head will make it work. Something has to lead. We are mind, body, spirit. The body cannot lead. It doesn't know what to do. It is a carrier for us, for our spirit. The body is really, as a good friend of mine would say, it really is a meat sack, a suitcase for the soul. The soul and the ego are always seem to be at war with each other in human form. And what I tell people is the ego cannot lead. The ego is fear-based, and the ego will make all the wrong decisions because the ego knows nothing but fear and wants to keep you safe. So when you are out doing the activities that you believe you could be doing to better yourself or better your life, your ego is going to naturally try to tamper that down because it's trying to protect you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
when
I got like $10,000 in student loans at this point, so it's like I couldn't even stop going to school if I wanted to, because mm-hmm. I would have to stop paying all that back.
Okay. So this is at the point where you need to just make a decision you're going to do it. And you're going to trust that the decision you make is the right decision for you. When you make a decision, at this point, like you say, you believe that there's no turning back. That's the place you're at right now.
I think the universe put me in this spot for a reason.
So yeah. Have you looked at what that reason would be?
To stay in school.
To stay in school. And if you believe that that is the reason the universe has put you there, then you need to come to terms and you need to be okay with that. And it really is as simple as making a decision. Here I am in school because I believe the universe wants me here. I am happy with this.
Yeah, because if I didn't owe those student loans right now, I'm telling you, I don't know if I'd go back in January.
So you believe that you're not at choice and that you have to go back in January?
Well, I pretty much, financially, I can't afford to be paying $10,000 in student loans back because I'm not even working. And the economy, you know, wants to pay me half of what I was making 2 years ago when I was working. So I just don't know how I would swing all that.
What is it that you really want, Lena?
I would love my own business, you know, something. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy helping people and lead my own business.
Mm-hmm. So have you written down what it is that you want to have in the universe? I mean, very specific, very specific. What is it that you want in your life?
I'm a very visual person. I write all the time, I journal.
Okay, perfect.
I do a lot of writing.
Good for you. So have you written down exactly what you want to have in your life?
Well, sometimes I get sidetracked. You know, I thought I wanted to go for the social worker. Then I switched to nursing. And then I realized the classes that were involved and it sort of intimidated me. And I don't, like I just told you before, I don't want to spend another few years in school.
Okay. You seem to be at odds with yourself because you're telling me that you have to go to school because of the student loan, but yet you don't want to be there.
Well, you know, I get really tired. I get, you know, like I told you, I'm a little nervous about working and going to school, how I'm going to be able to balance the two. Because right now I could just handle two classes every semester, and
okay.
that's without working. I don't, you know,
okay.
I went very slowly on my classes because that's all I could handle.
Right, right. So let's sit back and let's take a look at the words that you're using when you're actually looking at this whole scenario. So you believe that you have to go back to school in January, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you believe, so I'm just going to write this down. So believe. Okay. You also believe that you are exhausted. And you can tell from your voice, you are very, very tired. Your energy level is very low. You're very drained. What are you doing for self-care, Lena?
But you have to remember, too, I'm going through some other emotional things in my life. I've got a legal problem, my ex-husband, that's been going on for the same time that I've been in school. So I've been handling not only school and being out of work, I've had a legal problem going on for exactly the same amount of time I've been in school. And
okay.
I'm trying to get that rectified, and I'm...
Okay.
Just wondering if that's even, you know, going
okay.
to take another half a year.
Yeah, what I'd suggest we do, Lena, if it's okay with you, I'd like you to email me, and I'd like to do a session with you privately. Okay? So my email is info, I-N-F-O, at Sharon's Gift, S-H-A-R-O-N-S as in Sam, G-I-F-T, sharonsgift.com. Because I suspect we're going to have quite a long conversation on this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I want to give you the due that you need to be able to work through these issues. Does that sound fair?
Yeah.
Wonderful. So go ahead and email me, Lena. I look forward to receiving your email, and mm-hmm. we will go ahead and continue chatting about this.
Okay, thank you.
You're very, very
thank
welcome.
Thank you, Lena.
Thanks.
Okay, so, Karen.
So, Michelle, that was a great example of someone feeling like they are not at choice. We are always at choice, and we always have the ability to make a decision in our lives depending on where we're at. When we are in the situation, and again, she has quite a number of things going on at this time, so she really can't see the choices that are available to her. So it's a matter of working through her thought process and finding out really what is the underlying cause of all of these dramas going on in her life, because that's really what they are, is dramas, and they will pass. So to get her to understand that she really is that choice.
Yes, she was a perfect example. Yeah, definitely. I mean, she, you know, I think you'll make a lot of headway with her once she gets all the things uncluttered in her head and sorted out, for sure, because she's got so much going on and she doesn't know which way is up.
And oftentimes I find that people need somebody to just listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And people will often work out their own solutions once they have someone who's willing to sit down without judging and listen to the story that is going on in their minds. So as they start talking about their stories, they actually start to resolve it in their own way.
Yes, yeah, I think so. Okay, we have one other caller. I know we have about 15 minutes left, so maybe we can take this quick caller and then we'll wrap up. Is that okay, Sharon?
Sure, that sounds great.
Okay. Oh my goodness, we've got a. Oh, there we go. Hello, caller. Are you there? Hello. I guess we don't have them on the line. Okay. Well, they're there. I'm just not sure where they are. Maybe they stepped away. I don't know. Okay. Well, I guess we'll just keep chatting away. Maybe we'll try again in a few seconds. Blog Talk's been, yeah, acting up. I'm not certain what's going on with it, but I had another error message come up, and I thought, oh, no, we're going to lose you, but it was okay. All right, Sharon. Okay, so when is your next Write Your Way to Wellness program coming up? What's the next date for your workshop?
The next workshop is this Saturday.
Oh,
this
okay.
Saturday in Moncton, actually. It's at the AWA Institute in Ammon, just outside of Moncton.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have one seat left for that particular workshop. And I'm actually going to hold all workshops for December and January because that's when I take the time to really assess what happened this year and really plan for the next year and start sending out dates. I've had requests to do the workshops in Ottawa, and I'm pretty excited about that. And we're also looking to do it in the Toronto area, Fredericton, and Halifax as well.
And I can't remember, did you say you were going to be doing this as a webinar as well? Because I think this would make a fabulous webinar.
I believe so, too. I'm currently in an Empath 101 workshop with a good friend of mine, Eagle Spirit, and she's doing it via email, Facebook, and the format is really working out well, and you're absolutely right. This would make a great webinar, especially given the practice. I find that people really need to practice to make the habit of writing, make writing a habit, and make forgiveness a habit, and make speaking properly or speaking the languaging how you feel, that has to become a habit. And by doing it in webinar format, I believe is an excellent idea. Thank you for that. I'm going to write that.
No problem. I just call it like I see it. But definitely, I do also think this would be a great book. Are you thinking about making this into a book?
I
like
sure
a manual?
Am. I absolutely am. Yeah, absolutely. I love the power of words. I believe that we can do so much good by really speaking our truth. You were talking with Sharon in your first episode in July, and she was talking about the throat chakra and how the throat chakra really is, for one of your callers, was really clogged. And I find the same thing as well when I speak with, when I do my counseling sessions. People are being so politically correct. They're politically correcting themselves to illness. There is a way to speak your truth so that you honor yourself and you honor the person receiving the message. When you do it from spirit and from a position of love, there really is a way, that really is the way to honor yourself. Now, how that person receives the message, there is nothing we can do about that because they make a decision on how they are going to react. They make the decision on how they are going to feel about it. They make the decision on how they are going to respond to the comments that you've made. So we try to be friends with everybody to the point where we are doing ourselves a disservice. I was taught to be nice, not to embarrass my parents in public, to speak only when spoken to not be who I am, to be like everybody else. So it got to a point in my life where I didn't know what was truth and what wasn't truth. And I was letting myself, allowing myself to be abused by people around me, bullied by people around me, and I didn't know how to respond because I don't have the ability to strike back. So if somebody is striking from a negative position, I don't understand that and I don't know how to respond to that. So I just turtle and shut down. Because I don't have the skills to be able to, didn't have the skills to be able to deal with it at that time. So now that I understand the power of words and I understand how to language how I feel without offending the other person, but still honoring who I am, it makes it a lot easier and there's a lot less drama in my life, which I really appreciate given everything that is going on around me.
Yes. Yeah, and with you being such an empath and so emotionally sensitive, you know, you'd mentioned you'd shut down, and that's classic for someone who's so empathic. They, you know, definitely the criticism and all of those things are very hypersensitive if they're not certain what's going on inside and, you know, the patterns that we have and all of those things. So it's
That's
great that you're recognizing that now. You know, you're definitely taking some leaps and bounds in your spiritual development and your spiritual evolution, for sure.
And I am really very excited to be on this path. And I'm really very excited to have such a great network of people around me who not only I can send clients to, but who also support me on my journey. So having someone like you, Michelle, who's a numerologist, an intuitive numerologist, in my network of friends really does bode well for the future. I'm really very excited about the future of people in New Brunswick, and that New Brunswick really is becoming enlightened. People are really becoming aware of their spiritual selves, and they are reaching out to people like you for help to be able to say, listen, I've done my life on my own up to now. It's not working that great. It didn't really work out for me. Can you help me? And the stigma of asking for help is actually going away, which is really, really nice to see. So it's nice to be able to have a network of people who are so enlightened and who are on their journey and who are continuing their journey, because we never do really arrive, do we?
No,
always
recovering,
always growing, always changing, and always serving for the good.
Yes, and I definitely say that to my clients as well. You know, they come to me thinking I have all the answers. You know, some
mm-hmm.
people do, and I say, you know, I'm right there with you. You know, I understand what you're going through because I'm there with you. And, yeah, we're always evolving, always changing. When we get past something else is there. So definitely it's a journey for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sharon.
Yes.
If someone were to want to start this program without actually taking a class, because I'm sure there are a lot of listeners that would like to get started on a program like Write Your Way to Wellness, but, of course, because you don't have it yet as a webinar, but you will, what would they do to get started on this? What could be the first thing that they could do to start their journey with the writing and writing their way to wellness?
Certainly what they can do, Michelle, thank you for that question, is they could send me an email, info@sharonsgift.com. They can certainly go and peruse my website as well at sharonsgift.com. Send me an email, and I will begin helping them on their journey. I will ask them to start creating images. I have very specific questions that I use to help people create images. And I also will invite them to send me back their stories, so we can actually take a look at what thoughts those images, those stories are giving or are bringing up in their lives, how they are actually affecting people, how they are affecting their decisions, how do we change them to really be the truth. And I will also supply them with the tools that I use within the workshop, things like the forgiveness prayer, the clearing prayer, the questions, the really important questions, to be able to take a look at the story and transmute it. So thank you for the push, Michelle. I really do appreciate that. So if they want to email me, I will quickly put this program together and make sure that it's the quality program that they deserve, and we can certainly move it from there.
Great. Sounds perfect, because I know there's going to be a lot of questions afterwards of people wondering how they can get in touch with you. So it's sharonsgift.com. That's your website.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, okay. And I have one other question. We have about 6 minutes left, so I wanted to get your thoughts on dreams. Now, I know you were talking about writing, you know, writing about the things in our waking life, but what about dreams? Do you have any, within your program, do you have anything to work with dreams? Because a lot of things do come out in our dreams, of course.
Mm-hmm. Dreams, I have issues with dreams, and I'll tell you why, because I generally don't dream.
Really?
So, yes, I generally do not dream. If I do, I definitely don't remember them. Although, I remember when I was a child, I do believe that dreams are significant, and I have worked with people who are dreamers, and they remember their dreams right down to the detail. So, I do have them journal that dream, and I do take a look at it with them to identify what the dream signifies, what the dream is trying to tell them. As a child, I used to dream all the time, and they were rather scary dreams because I was suppressing my intuitive abilities the angels were trying to give me messages through my dreams, and of course my ego mind was transmuting them to be dangerous, negative events. And so I had a real fear of dreaming because I was receiving messages that I didn't understand. So at some point, I believe I've blocked the ability to dream or remember my dreams. But I do have people who remember their dreams vividly. In the workshop, I encourage them to journal the dream, take a look at it, and see the message and really understand the message that the dream is trying to give them. Oftentimes, dreams are given to people who, and it has been my experience, of course, dreams are often given to people who are not conscious in their waking moments. In other words, the angels or their higher selves are trying to give them messages while they're awake, but they're not connected. Perhaps they're not even grounded in their own body. So the angels are unable to communicate with them, so they do it through dreams.
Yes, I agree, because when I'm not using my intuitive skills, if I'm, you know, out of commission, sick, or what have you, and I'm not having regular clients, I will start having very vivid dreams. And it's kind of a sign to say, okay, get back to work, get using your intuitive skills, you know, opening up to spirit again, things like that, and they'll tone down. So I do agree with you about that, you know, they're trying to give you messages through your dreams, and they become very vivid and very sometimes scary.
Yeah. Yes, I used to dream about when I was a little girl, I used to dream that I was tied to a pole and I had little purple things running around, running all around me and doing some not nice things. And I won't describe it, but it turns out that with the help of Ovila Duaron, a good friend of mine, he helped me to understand that those purple beings were actually divine angels. And they were circling around, telling me that I was protected and that not to fear the intuitive abilities that I had, which, of course, I was terrified of as a child and didn't know how to share with anybody. Now it's great joy in the family. Hey, they can call me up and say, hey, what do you think about this and what do you think about that? So now they call me for divine messages, but before it was really... It was a very difficult situation in that, and I find this is very, very common, where I was not allowed to be who I was because it just wasn't talked about and understood at that time.
Yes, yes, I agree. Well, thank you so much, Sharon, for coming on. I was pleasantly surprised to find out how you do the workshop exactly because I was curious. I read a little bit about it, and I'll definitely have to come, definitely.
I would love to have you as a guest. I would absolutely
love
to have you as a guest. So I will send you the schedule for the upcoming workshops in the new year, and I hope to see you in one of my workshops.
Perfect.
And
so,
thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, it was my pleasure, definitely. So for those of you listening, it's Sharon's website is sharonsgifts.com, and you can peruse her website and find out a little bit more about what she does and her workshop. So thanks again, Sharon. It was a
You're
pleasure.
You're very, very welcome.
Okay, guys, now next week's show, we have, just see here, we have Felix Wolf. Now, Felix is an author, a teacher, a transformational healer with academic degrees in cognitive psychology and oriental medicine. He has also apprenticed with Carlos Castaneda, and up until his death, actually. Definitely, Felix is a very interesting fellow, and he has a book called The Art of Navigation, and I'm in the midst of reading it, and it's fabulous. So definitely do tune in next week for another great episode of Surviving the Shift. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening, and have a great day.